we understand it. It's the only Russian we know, but we just really want to welcome you and make you feel welcome here. Hallelujah, 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 Slava Guru. Hallelujah, 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 Slava Guru. Slava Guru, hallelujah, Slava Guru.
So did everybody else figure out what Slava Bohum is?
Somebody sent me this that I wanted to share with you real briefly. It's the hymnal for the working class. It's rather amusing, and here's just a few that I'd like to pass on to you this morning. The dentist's hymn, crown him with many crowns. The weatherman's hymn, there shall be showers of blessing. The contractor's hymn, the church's one foundation. The politician's hymn, standing on the promises. The optometrist's hymn, open my eyes that I may see. And one more, the IRS agent's hymn, I surrender all. Bob is coming to lead us in worship this morning. Let's enter in.
Good morning. Welcome all. Can't start naming. We got more visitors than we have regulars here, I think, this morning. Number 585, he ransomed me. Number 585. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness stopped me, and from sin and shame he brought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who would take the poor lost sinner, lift me from my neglect and set me free. I would never tell the story of him. Easter just yet. Christ arose. 463.
Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day. Jesus, This follows that other one pretty well. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let's make our plans. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, the time shall be no more. And the Lord embraces in the right hand. When the Savior shall end, when the roll is called up yonder. Sing it once more.
When the roll
let's turn to hymn number 351, Come and Dine. Jesus has the table spread. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. Sang yesterday, and we talked him into doing the same thing over today.
Hold in our hands and Grandmothers and great grandmothers. And they're all mine. I thought I might get this messed up. They claim they're going to keep me from getting it messed up. A medley. Isn't he wonderful?
Seem to like it. Let's do it again.
Hey, you're throwing the side of the
Jesus.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain. I don't know if I can get that one today or not. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain, and give us the victory again and again. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give to us the victory again and again.
One more time. Children's Church is dismissed. Children's Church is dismissed at this time. We need to congratulate, since this is, not just because this is Mother's Day, but I think Nancy James is probably the newest grandmother here. Yes. As Tracy had a baby. Did they come up with a name yet? Isaac Wesley. And he was born on... So Tuesday. So congratulations to Bob and Nancy and Bob and Clarice. Praise the Lord. And Tracy was out yesterday for the mother-daughter banquet. That's remarkable. Before we go to the scripture today, I'm going to give you a little quiz. This quiz was given to a group of elementary children, so you can handle it, all right? My full name has 6 letters. The first letter in my name begins with M, and I pick up things. What am I? I heard magnet and I heard mother, and you know what? You're both right, aren't you? In fact, that quiz was given to a group of elementary children after a teacher had taught on the magnet. And the next day she gave them that quiz, and still 50% of the class gave mother for the answer. Mother's Day is when everybody waits on mother and she pretends she doesn't mind the extra work. Proverbs 31:1, just one verse for our text this morning. It may not seem like much as you look at it, but we want to expound on that thought this morning. Proverbs 31:1. The scripture says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Simply that this morning, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Title of the message, The Hand That Rocks the Cradle Rules the World. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, and we thank you for outstanding mothers like Lemuel's mother, as she taught him words from your truths, and she placed those truths in his heart. And Lord, we do thank you for the powerful influence that mothers have upon us. And Lord, we pray that you would help us honor the moms, the grandmothers that are here today. Lord, your word tells us to give honor to whom honor is due, and we want to do that today, so we ask that you would help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Here is a chapter of the Bible containing the oracles of a king that had been taught by his mother. The hand that rocked the cradle ruled the kingdom. The hand that rocked the cradle ruled the kingdom through her instruction in the life of her son. The hand that rocked the cradle ruled the kingdom through her instruction and teaching. And you know what the amazing thing about this is? The hand that rocked that cradle
and gave that teaching also found its way into the Word of God. We have the words of King Lemuel's mother before us, contained today in the Holy Scriptures. So the hand that rocked the cradle not only ruled the world, it continues to live. Its influence continues to live in us here today. They say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter on lower powers than he. But mightier power and stronger man from his throne has hurled. For the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Years ago, a young mother was making her way across the hills of South Wales. She was carrying a tiny baby in her arms when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never did reach her destination. The blizzard subsided her body, and she was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off all of her outer clothing and she had wrapped her tiny baby in her clothes. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found that he was alive and well. She had mounded her body over his and had given her life for her child, proving the depths of a mother's love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, grew to manhood, became Prime Minister of Great Britain, and without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. The hand that rocked the cradle ruled the world. Because the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, moms, we want to give you some advice this morning. And then what kind of influence you have upon your children if you were going to have such a great influence. And yes, maybe even rule the world. You need to have some advice, and I can't think of a better place to go to find advice than from the Word of God. So if you would turn to the book of Titus, please. The book of Titus, chapter 2. Titus, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Titus, chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. These are the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The aged women likewise. And then it names their behavior there for us in verse 3. But I want you to notice that they were to have good behavior. They were to have good words. They were to have good habits. And they were to have a good influence. Now, if you add up all of those things together, the result would be good families. If you have good behavior, good words, good habits, and good influence, that will equal having a good family. Good behavior, it says that they are to behave as becometh holiness. Literally, this passage states that an older woman should behave as a priestess, as in a holy temple of God. That's how she should behave in her house, as a priestess in the holy temple of God. She's also supposed to have good words, not false accusers, the word said. Moms, if you only knew how much influence your words have, if you only knew the power and influence that you speak. Lemuel's words influenced a king. Again, let me remind you, it influenced a king, it influenced a kingdom, it influenced a world, it influences us today. Found in the Holy Scriptures. And they were to have good habits, not given to much wine. Good habits bring good success. Habits are easy to pick up. Habits are hard to put away. They're hard to do away with. And so moms, please set the example in your family. Set the example in your home through practicing good habits. Your good habits will bring good success to your home and to your children. One of the ways moms have always set an example, other than by their unconditional love, is by their hard work. Moms tend to be wise stewards of their time. Have you ever noticed how hard women work, moms work? Here's a normal day in the life of a mother. She cooked the breakfast, first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children and made sure all stockings were mates, combed their heads and made their beds, sent them out to play, gathered up their motley toys, put some books away, dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked a jar of cookies and a pie, then made a stew. The telephone rang constantly. The doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe, and then the laundry came. She picked up blocks and mended socks, and then she blackened up the stove. And when her husband came at 6, he said, "I envy you. It must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do." You all heard about the mom who one day just let it all go. The husband came home early in the evening. He had to step over the toys in the doorway. He looked around. The house was a complete mess. None of the dishes were done. The children were still in their pajamas. He said, "Where's mom?" The children all answered, "Mom's in her bedroom." He goes into the bedroom. He finds mom still in her pajamas. And he looks at her with a question mark in his eyes. And she was just said, "And you wondered what I did all day." Moms have a lot to do. They have a great responsibility. You know, some researchers have, I don't know how they come up with this stuff, but they figured that a mom was worth $40,000 a year. I know I couldn't pay my wife that kind of salary. And they say a man works from sun up to sundown, but a woman's work is never done. We want to thank the moms for their example, the habits that they set for us children, and even husbands to follow. They have a good influence, teachers of good things, the scripture says. And what a powerful influence they have. Lillian Jones writes that on the great biographer Ida M. Tarbell's 80th birthday, someone asked her to name the greatest person she had ever met. She responded, "The greatest persons I have ever met are those nobody knows anything about." Once the New York Times was asked to help a group of club women decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. After due consideration, the editors replied, "The 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes." Mom, you are important today. I don't care if the world doesn't know your name. I don't care if people outside your family, outside this church, don't know your name. You are important. You have a great place in the kingdom of God. You have a great place in the home. Thank you for your influence, the power of that influence. You don't know how great you are. You are blessed of God. Jones asked, "I ask of you, who was greater, Thomas A. Edison or his mother? When he was a young lad, his teacher sent a note home with him." Can you imagine this? Thomas Edison's mother sent a note home with him. The note said, "Your child is dumb. We can't do anything for him." Mrs. Edison wrote a letter back and said, "You don't know my son. I will teach him myself." And she did, and the results are well known. Who's greater, Thomas Edison or his mother who had faith? The one who taught him. Some of the most famous people in the world have ascribed their success to a good mother. You know, you watch a sporting event, and what do these big athletes do? "Hi, Mom." They want to give the credit to Mom. "Hi, Mom." Some of the most famous people in the world have attributed their success to their good mother. John Quincy Adams said, "All that I am, my mother made me." Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Dwight L. Moody declared, "All that I have ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." Napoleon was a sage when he said, "Let France have good mothers, and she will have good sons." When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, the one said to the other, "Well, I guess he sure knocked the props out of Christianity, didn't he?" The other said, "No, I don't think he did." Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. How many of us are here today because we had a mother who set a godly example for us? How many are here today? We are here because we have a mother that prayed for us. And we went to schools and we went to universities maybe, and they taught us evolution and they taught us that the things of the Bible weren't too true, but we could not defy the fact that our mother's God made her different. And we follow in her footsteps. We follow her example. Dr. Campbell Morgan, the famous preacher, had four sons and they all were preachers. Someone came into the drawing room where the family was gathered. They thought that they would see what Howard, one of the sons, was made of. So they asked him the question, kind of taunting, "Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family?" Howard had great admiration for his father, and he looked straight across at him, and then without a moment's hesitation, he said, "Mother. Mother is the greatest preacher in our family. A close-knit and loving home is worth more than a kingdom," William Bennett said. "Mothers make home the happiest place in the world. This delicious home feeling is one of the choicest gifts mothers can bestow." I mean, what is it? Even after you move and you get away from home, there is still something about going back to mom's house, isn't there? You still call that home. I'm going home. I'm going to go be with mom. I'm going to spend some time with my mother. I'm going home. And you know the peace that floods your soul as you come into mom's house. Yeah, you might be able to smell the aroma of fresh bread baking, and you know mom has made a dozen or two chocolate chip cookies or something like that, but just to be at home with mom creates just a feeling that is inexplicable. Home. I hope that you have a place like that. If you haven't had a place like that, I pray that you will make your home to be a place where your children and anyone could feel welcomed and loved in such a setting. Lord, this humble house we'd keep, sweet with play and calm with sleep. Help us so that we may give beauty to the lives we live. Let thy love and let thy grace shine upon our dwelling place. Edgar A. Just. Charles Spurgeon said, in reference to influence, and specifically influence through prayer, he said, "I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying, 'Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, and it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim him as their personal Savior.'" Lawrence Sandy of the Navigators once wrote of his mother, "My mother gave birth to me in a frontier house on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer. And that remained at the top of her list for me throughout her life. I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots." And moms, maybe you're here today and maybe your heart is broken because your children are wayward this morning. And your children are not like some of these that we've talked about this morning. You know what? You can pray for them. You can pray for them. I am convinced that a mother's righteous prayer avail the most. The prayers of a righteous man avail much, but the prayers of a righteous mother avail the most. And never stop praying. I've heard testimony after testimony of people saying, "You know, my mom prayed for me for 28 years, 30 years, and I could never get those prayers out of my mind. And then there came a day in my life when I had to get on my knees and I had to repent and I had to call upon Jesus and he became my Lord and Savior." Moms, never, ever, ever give up praying for your children. Those prayers are working on their hearts. They'll never forget those prayers. They'll never forget those words. They'll never forget your love for them, your undying love and devotion. They will never, ever forget it. No matter how bad they may seem to be, they will never forget it. They will come back to their mother's God. Train up a child the way he should, in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. He'll come back. I also want to speak of the importance of grandmothers. If you notice, this passage in Titus was directed specifically to the aged women. An honored position was given to the older women of the church. Grandmothers, you are needed. You are needed. Sometimes it breaks my heart when I hear older women say that they're no longer needed. You are needed. And you are wanted, and you still have a work to do, or God would have taken you home. E.F. Brown was missionary to India in the old days. He noted something concerning the Anglo-Indian society of those days. A friend of his was asked, "What is it you want most in India?" Think about that question. What is it you want the most in India? His answer was, grandmothers. In the old days, there were few older women in Anglo-Indian society. Most of the Anglo women returned to Britain while still fairly young. The scarcity of older women was a serious lack in their society. Mr. Brown also said, "Older women play a very important part in society. We don't realize how large a part they play until we witness a social life where they are absent." Now, I believe also that a healthy church has grandmas in it. Not only a church filled with children and young people and young adults, but grandmas and grandpas. You know what's becoming very important on the mission field nowadays? God is starting to call older people. He's starting to call grandmas and grandpas to the mission field. And you know what some of the greatest ministry they have is ministering to missionaries' kids because they miss their grandparents. They don't have grandparents out there on the mission field. God is sending grandparents to the mission fields. And God is sending grandparents to places where, in societies where they don't live to be very old. And grandparents are starting to fill a need that is very vital and important in the life of a child. Grandma on a winter's day milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule, drove kids to school, did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, and did some chores. Cooked a dish of home-dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit. Swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread. Split some firewood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin. Cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked a cake, then exclaimed, "For goodness sake." When the calves ran from the pen and chased them all back in again. Gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table. Cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all dirty dishes. Fed the cat and sprinkled clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play "When You Come to the End of a Perfect Day." It was rally day. It was a rally day program, a Sunday school rally or something in the church when a little girl was asked to recite what she had memorized for the occasion. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, but when she got up in front of the crowd, she drew a blank. That ever happened to anybody? You have to get up, you drew a blank. I remember a piano recital. I might have told you this. I could not even remember where middle C was, let alone the first note. She drew a blank. Hundreds of eyes were staring at her, waiting for her to open her mouth and recite her memory work. But every line that she had so carefully rehearsed faded from her mind. And she stood there unable to say a single word. In the front row was her mother. She was almost as frantic as the little girl. The mother gestured, moved her lips, trying to form the words for the girl, but it didn't do any good. She just didn't understand. Finally, the mother, in desperation, whispered the opening phrase of the memorized scripture, "I am the light of the world." Immediately, the child's face lit up and a smile appeared as she said with supreme confidence, My mother is the light of the world. Of course, everybody smiled and laughed, and some of them out loud. Then they soberly reflected that, you know, the girl, in some ways, was not far from wrong. Because how many children, their mother is the light of their world. The mother is the light of the child's world. Mothers, I want to tell you something. You might be the only reflection of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, that your children will ever see. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your mother's good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Moms, if you are here today, you might be a tremendous mom, you might be a terrific mom, but if you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, there's something sorely lacking. Because the greatest source of motherhood is to be able to lead her children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. To be able to look into your eyes, to be able to look into the windows of your soul, your eyes, and see Jesus in your heart. That is the greatest gift you would ever be able to give your children. Would your child be able to say of you, "My mother is the light of the world. I see Jesus. I see the love of Jesus reflected in the life of my mother." And you know what? Someday your children might say, they can explain all kinds of things, but they can never explain to me my mother's life. And until they can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. I'm here to tell you today, I'm going to stand by my mother's God till the day I die, because I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus in my mom. I see Jesus in moms here. But you might be here today, and you've not asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Don't put it off. Don't wait. As the song said, you have this moment. Tomorrow may never come. We have today. We have this moment today. Would you please do yourself a favor? Do God a favor? But most importantly, do your children a favor. Say, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me to be the mother that you want me to be. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." Your indecisiveness about Jesus, or because you might say no to Jesus, may mean the result that your child might say no to Jesus. What a tragedy. You wouldn't want that to happen. Moms are known for their great love. May you lead your children to experience the greatest love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? We want to honor all the mothers in just a little bit. But I want to ask, first of all, if there's any moms or dads here, you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're a child, you're a young person, and you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior. Maybe your mom and dad set an example for you, or maybe they didn't. But you've never said, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and be my Savior." It's really rather simple. That's all it is. "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, be my Savior." And then you know what? You're brought into the kingdom of God. You're brought into God's family. "For as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God." Moms, dads, anybody else here today, you've not asked Jesus to be your Savior. Could I see your hand? Would you just raise it up and then down? "Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to make the prayer today to receive Jesus as my Savior." Anybody? Just by a raised hand. Just raise your hand up and then down. "I want my children to see Jesus, but I realize they can't do that if I don't have the light. If I don't have Jesus, they can't see Jesus in me. They'll have to go somewhere else." Anybody? Just by an uplifted hand. Okay. Any moms here today, moms? Your heart is broken. Your children are wayward this morning. Or at least your children are not where you brought them to be. And your heart is heavy for your children today. I wonder if you would just raise your hand up and then down. I'd like to pray with you. Amen. Father, you see these hands. You see these mothers today and how their heart must ache for their children. Lord, as they have loved them and as they have set the example before them and they have let their light shine for you in front of them. And yet today, the children persist in going their own way. Father, I pray that you would bring them back to you. Lord, that many prodigal sons and daughters would return home. Lord, that they would experience the welcome and the love and the restored fellowship of you and with their earthly parents, their moms and dads. Oh, Holy Spirit, draw them to yourself. Draw them to Jesus today. For we ask it in that precious name, the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Could we have all the mothers please stand and come to the front? Would you stand in front of me today? We have a white carnation that we'd like to give you. We'd like to honor you, first of all. All the moms. If you're visiting with us, you come today. You don't have to be a member of this church. We want to honor all mothers, all grandmothers here today. So if you're visiting, please come. Every year, it seems like we have a few more mothers up here at the front.
Got to get a wider front.
There you go. Line the aisles. Contrary to popular opinion, Mother's Day was not conceived and fine-tuned in the offices of Hallmark. In the United States, Mother's Day started nearly 150 years ago by a woman named Anna Jarvis. 15 years later, Julia Ward Howe, a Boston poet, organized a day encouraging mothers to rally for peace, since she believed they bore the loss of human life more harshly than anyone else. Interestingly, she said at age 91, "We talk of 40 horsepower, but if we had 40 mother power, it would be the most wonderful force in all of the world." In 1905, when Anna Jarvis died, her daughter, also named Anna, began a campaign to memorialize the life work of her mother. Legend has it that young Anna remembered a Sunday school lesson that her mother gave in which she said, "I hope and pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day. There are many days for men, but none for mothers." Anna began to lobby prominent businessmen like John Wanamaker and politicians, including Presidents Taft and Roosevelt, to support her campaign to create a special day to honor mothers. At one of the first services organized to celebrate Anna's mother, in 1908, at her church in West Virginia, Anna handed out her mother's favorite flower, the white carnation. 5 years later, the House of Representatives adopted a resolution calling for officials of the federal government to wear white carnation on Mother's Day. In 1914, Anna's hard work paid off when Woodrow Wilson signed a bill recognizing Mother's Day as a national holiday. And so, in honor of that first Mother's Day, we thought instead of us wearing white carnations, however, we would let you have a white carnation. George, you want to come and help here? Lowell, you want to come take this side? And let them all have their pick of carnations this morning. Let's all stand. Let's stand in recognition of them. And let's ask God's blessing on these mothers. Father, we thank you that you have given these mothers to us. Lord, we thank you that you have brought them into our lives. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon them. We pray your protection upon them. We pray, Lord, that you would grant these mothers good health. Lord, that you would bless them in so many ways. Give them strength, Lord, to do their household chores, to take care of their families. Give them patience with us. Lord, sometimes we know we try their patience. Lord, we pray that you would bless them and honor them this day, that you would fill their hearts with peace, that you would fill their heart with love. Oh, Lord, that your love for them would become such a reality that it would just flow from you to them and then out to others. Lord, that there would be an abundance of love in their lives, enough to pass around, pass on to their children and their families and to others they come in contact with. And Lord, once again, we just thank you for them and we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it'd be appropriate to just show our appreciation for them with a clap this morning. Can we do that? Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Steve Inlow, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Good Father, we thank you for this beautiful day today, Lord, and a day that we can honor our mothers and our wives. We just thank you, Father, for this service, and we just ask that you would come with us through the week as we before we meet next week. We pray in Jesus' name.